Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed, God, by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A familiar resurrection passage from the end of John's gospel. And I was reading through the gospels during Lent this year. And so right before Easter, actually on Saturday, I hit this part, the very end of John. And something struck me. It struck me that when Jesus was having his Last Supper with his disciples, the last time he was ever going to be with them in that way before the cross, he told them a lot of things. But several times he mentioned peace. He told them that in the world, in this world, they were going to have trouble, but to be of good cheer because he overcame the world, and that he was telling them all these things so that in him, they would have peace. And again, he told them that he had peace to give them, not peace like the world gives, peace that the world can't begin to understand. He had peace for them. And he told them that right before they had this terrible time of watching Judas betray him, of watching their own devotion to him fall apart, and realizing that their love for him was superseded by their desire to protect themselves. In the middle of that chaos that was coming in the next few days of the heartache and the pain, Jesus told his disciples, "I'm giving you peace." And then comes the first day of the week when the women, Mary Magdalene and the other women, bring back this crazy story of how the stone is rolled away and how the grave is empty. And how Mary Magdalene herself saw Jesus, who told her to go and tell Peter and his brothers what had happened. I love it that Mary Magdalene is the very first evangelist, if you will. She's the very first person to carry the good news of the gospel. And now it's later on that night, and these disciples are gathered in the upper room, locked in, for fear of the Jews, because they didn't know what was happening. They heard the stories that Jesus was alive. Luke tells us they heard the report back from the two disciples on the way to Emmaus that they had seen him, but they didn't know what was going on, and they didn't know what the atmosphere was out in the world around them. And the Romans and the Jewish leaders were putting stories out that the disciples had actually stolen his body. So they just didn't know what to expect. So they're sort of gathered together for company with one another, a little bit in fear behind a locked door. And all of a sudden, there's Jesus. And the very first thing he says to these disciples that he loved so fiercely, the very first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands, and he shows them his side to show them exactly who he is. And then he says it again, "Peace be with you." We're told a little bit further on in John's gospel that, actually the next few verses, that Thomas was not with them. And a week later, Jesus shows up again in a locked room. And you know what he says to his disciples? His very first greeting, the very first time Thomas has seen him after the resurrection. He says, "Peace be with you." And as I read that passage afresh a couple weeks ago, the "peace be with you" kept jumping out at me, because I believe strongly that they were more than just a greeting that Jesus had for his disciples. As a matter of fact, later on in our passage, Jesus breathes into his disciples with the Holy Spirit. He breathes, if you will, his peace into them. And as you look at the disciples in their locked room with a whole lot of uncertainty and a whole lot of fear, and I see how desperately they needed this peace, I also look at our world that we live in today, all those years later, a world where scary things happen and are happening, where there are all sorts of wars and all sorts of conflict and all sorts of trouble. And I think we too need to hear that peace that Jesus has to give us. We live in a world that's scary enough all by itself. And then even worse, I believe we have people I'm calling fearmongers stirring up even more fear. You know, and part of it is just the wonderful technology that is available to us. It's the downside of that when something terrible happens, we can get a news update on our phone in seconds after it happens. We even get reports of bad weather in seconds after the meteorologist realizes it's coming. We get flung bad news at us all the time. And then it gets worse as we start coming up to my least favorite season of all, which is election season. As people start throwing their hats into the ring, we start hearing candidates, we start hearing pundits, we start hearing politicians on all sides saying, if this happens, it's going to be a disaster. If this doesn't happen, it's going to be a disaster. And we couple that with the mess going on in the Middle East and what's happening in Israel and Palestine, and it's overwhelming. And that doesn't even begin to address our personal anxieties and fears as we watch our parents and we watch our children and we watch our grandchildren, sometimes making a mess of their lives, as we watch people we love who have hard times kind of fall upon them. And again, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, they just seem rampant in our world. And so how desperately we need to hear Jesus' words, peace be with you. You know, oftentimes we think of peace, I think of peace as just an absence of conflict, you know? Sort of this silent stillness where there's nothing bad going on. The Hebrew understanding of peace, shalom, is so much richer than that. It's actually not just an absence of peace, but it's a fullness, a completion, a well-being, being filled up, if you will, with God's healing and God's assurance and God's love and God's presence. So it's not just the absence of something, it's the presence of something even richer. I tend to think if the world would cooperate and the people I deal with would cooperate, I could have peace, right? If people stopped causing trouble, if there stopped being bad news, if people could just agree, then I could have peace in my life. But as we look at the scene of Jesus talking to his disciples that very first Easter night, that very first resurrection day, we realize that that was not the case at all. Jesus wasn't saying to them, look, I'm risen from the dead, and so now everything's just going to go perfectly and smoothly. As a matter of fact, after the second time he says, peace be with you, and he breathes his Holy Spirit to them, he says, this, I'm sending you out. Just like the Father sent me out, I'm sending you out into a broken, messy, fearful world where things are going to go wrong. And a whole lot of the people in that room didn't necessarily have storybook endings to their life. Many of them gave their life to spread the gospel. They gave their life to believing in Jesus when the world around them did not want to receive it. So it's not that we have to have everything perfect in our lives. It's that in the middle of life, in the middle of the stress, in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the chaos, Jesus longs to fill us with shalom. As a matter of fact, we read in the scriptures that he himself is our peace. Again, I've talked to you many times about the discrepancy in what I believe and what my life looks like sometimes. And I see that so evident when I talk about peace, because I realize how often I am anxious or worried or even fearful. How I let the what ifs and the what if not create havoc with my emotional and spiritual well-being. So I know that I am desperately in need of this peace, that the Prince of Peace longs to speak into my life. And I don't know about your life, but I'm guessing at least a couple of you are probably in the same situation. So how do we get it? How do we get this peace that changes our life, that changes the way we live, that changes the way we interact with people, that changes the way we deal with uncomfortable and unpleasant situations? I'll tell you what we don't do, because this is my first solution to the problem of no peace, is I try to be peaceful. Doesn't work. Doesn't work well. Peace isn't something we rally up inside of us. It's something, as we see in our passage, that Jesus speaks into our life, that he breathes into us his peace. Peace from the one who conquered the grave. Peace from the one who reminds us that nothing is too hard for him, that the impossible is made possible. He stands on his track record, if you will, of an empty cross and an empty grave. He's proven that there is nothing he can't handle. He's proven that even things that people meant for evil, that the enemy of our souls meant to destroy, he can turn around for victory and for good. This is the Jesus who wants to speak his peace into us. The one who is more than big and strong enough to keep his promises. The one who has proven time and time again, and then finally in this great act of resurrection, has proven his faithfulness and his trustworthiness. And so somehow, we need to find a way and a place and a time to lay down all this stuff that we insist on carrying around and let him breathe his peace into us. We have to learn, if you will, to take our eyes off all that's wrong, off the circumstances of our lives, to deafen our ear, if you will, to the fear mongers in our life who would love us to be all riled up with anxiety. And we need to fix our eyes on him, our risen Lord, our conquering King. Jesus says, in this world, going to have trouble, but no trouble that I can't walk you through, no trouble that I can't turn around for your good, no trouble that is so big that I am going to leave you. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what your anxiety points are. I don't know what the thing that happens that makes you worry, if it's your job or your marriage maybe, or your children or your grandchildren or your extended family. I don't know what it is, what causes you anxiety and what causes you worry. But when I know in my life, in those situations, it locks us in a room, just like the disciples. We're locked up in the room. We're unable to be used by God the way we want to be used until he bursts in and speaks his peace into us. And that's what I believe he longs to do. Longs to do here tonight. So I'd love you just to take a minute just to take a minute tonight in the quiet and think about what makes you anxious and think about what makes you worried. And then in the quiet, invite Jesus to come breathe his peace into that situation, to fill you up with himself, to show you how faithful he is. And if you don't have any moments of anxiety, then you can just spend the next minute or so praising God for that. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord Jesus, you know the situations in our life that mess us up, cause us to be the people that we don't want to be. And so we lift those situations up to you tonight and ask you to breathe your peace into them. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. Fill us up with your perfect love, which casts out all fear. God, help us to trust you in the middle of situations that don't look like they're going to work out. Help us to trust you in the situations that don't go the way we want them to do. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. You are such an awesome God, that you are indeed the Prince of Peace, and that you long to fill us with your shalom, God, until we're overflowing. Send us out, God, to be a message of hope in a world that so desperately needs it, to be a message of peace in a world of chaos, God. We want to be available to you. In Jesus' name, amen.